Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show where the music never stops and the scumbaggery gets exposed. And today we're going to be reading out some articles as well. I kind of like reading out articles on air because I get to rip them apart because they're usually full of such BS that, like two lines of an article winds up being about 15 minutes of dialogue. And, you know, who would have thunk that the mainstream media would leave out that much? Auckland Council meets to thrash out unitary plan. Okay, unitary plan, Agenda 21. Yeah. Just remember, whenever I say unitary plan, it means Agenda 21. That's basically what's going on here. There's only one mayoral candidate, who's attempting to expose the fact that it is Agenda 21, and that would be Penny Bright. I tried to give her a call this morning and get her on the show, but she's not there. The Auckland Council is sitting down for a three-day meeting this morning to thrash out the final shape of the unitary plan, Agenda 21, which will set the rules for a more intensified city over the next 30 years. Intensified. Megacity. Judge Dredd. Oh, yes, I like this plan. The height of buildings in town centres and the suburbs and the level of if intensification are among the most controversial issues to be resolved by the council, and the level if intensification. Yes, it's of intensification. New Zealand Herald, you spelling mistake, dumbasses. You know, you'd figure if you had like a couple of $1 million facilities, editors, and several other armies of douchebags who are educated in a public schooling system which dumbs them down, they'd at least be able to get the spelling correct. Oh, wait, maybe not. And, here's an interesting connection between Agenda 21. The intensification are amongst the most controversial issues to be resolved by the council and 21 local board chairs who are participating in the meeting at the Auckland Town Hall. You know, there's 21 local boards and it's Agenda 21 and the city of the Agenda 21 kind of rollout in New Zealand. This is going to be like our megacity. You know, everybody else is going to have their megacities, you know. The states are going to have a couple. Aussie are going to have a couple. And Auckland's going to be like New Zealand's megacity. And that's why they're focusing all the intensification and everything here so that they can have all the slave blocks and nobody really living anywhere else. You know, it'd be a nice mega super structure of a city to be stuck in, really. I mean, we've got nice sea views that will have, American warships in them that are pointing their Hellfire missiles at us, you know. It'll be nice. It'll be reminiscent of Syria. Councillor Anne Hartley has flagged a number of changes in the mixed housing suburban zone. The mixed housing suburban zone. You can just imagine, like, in the deep, dark future, like, Commander, we're going into the mixed housing suburban zone, which causes a chorus of complaints when it was flagged in a draft document that went out for public consultation earlier this year. You know, what's interesting is the whole thing about public consultation. It's basically just an idea for them to just go out and say, yeah, we conned the public. I mean, we consulted the public. And they really didn't do anything to oppose us, even though we got thousands of letters and such and what to the contrary. And so we're just going to go ahead with it because, you know, obviously they didn't go ahead and resist wholeheartedly, hand over fist, our evil scumbaggery agenda. That's what public consultation means. Hey, the zone was split in two. Mixed housing urban near town centres and mixed housing suburban in traditional suburban areas. Ms. Hartley was unhappy when council planners applied the same unlimited density rules to both subzones and is proposing to remove unlimited density from the suburban subzone. See, this is where we're coming in from. It's funny, I was just thinking about this yesterday. And in fact, I think Penny sent me an email about this. I'll see if I can bring that up. No, I don't really have a whole lot of things. I haven't read through it yet. But yeah, I wish I could talk to Penny about this because this is quite nasty. Because dig this. All right. The reason why you're in the suburbs is because you don't really like the whole population density kind of thing. And what this plan's doing here, according to this article, is it's saying, hey, it's going to be unlimited density in the suburbs. Unlimited density in the city. Oh, my God. It sounds like it's going to be a freaking nightmare. You know, just this endlessly expanding concrete jungle of high-rises. It'll be... It's like turning Auckland into like New York or something like that. All right, the roads can't even deal with the traffic density as we've got at the moment, and they're all public transport systems that they're going to be setting up. Oh boy, there's going to be a heck of a lot of surveillance on that stuff. There ain't going to be any freedom, no privacy, freedom of movement, you know, that kind of thing. You want to get out of the city? Hey, you're going to have to get a permit so that you don't go into any unauthorized zones. The New Zealand Institute of Architects Auckland branch and the property council are urging councillors not to backtrack on density provisions. Well, yes, because they're the private contracting scum, okay? And they get this this big, juicy packet out of all this, innit? Okay, it's going to be public-private partnerships all the way, okay? Companies working with the government, architects, builders, etc. And they're all exempt from building codes and being sued and so on and so forth if they do a crappy job. No wonder they're lock, stock and barrel behind this kind of unitary plan, which will allow them to build huge, massive slave blocks every frickin' where in the city and never held any accountability for them. And that's great. You know, it'll be just fabulous. It'll be like Joburg. NZIA Auckland, no offense to Joburg, you know. NZIA Auckland branch chairman Richard Goldie said councillors might be better to turn their attention to the issue of the quality of buildings within the two subzones. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're going to be real concerned about the quality, considering they got no liability, Quote, community concerns about density are often really concerns about building quality. Auckland has many examples of well-designed and well-built medium-density housing, but unfortunately there's also a legacy of too many poorly planned apartment complexes, he said. A mate of mine was living in an apartment complex, and there's this kind of a gap between two buildings in the distance, you know, where you can sort of see like a sliver of the sea. You know, in between this urban death landscape, and the Korean real estate agent guy goes, see, look, there's a sea view. He's just like, dude, you're gonna be freaking kidding me. And he's living in this apartment anyway, and I was in there for just like 5 minutes, and I felt like I was cramped and I needed to blow my brains out. Like going down the hallway of this like two bedroom apartment, my shoulders were touching the walls. Okay, it's that freaking cramped, and that's what we call a poorly planned slave block. You know, when it well planned slave residences. Thank you for all the peasant scum to migrate into. Oh my god, it's just terrible. Okay, I don't know about anybody else, but I really hate the whole idea of living in a slave block. Really. It's quite disgusting. For me, anyway. Maybe there's some good apartments or whatever, but, you know, proximity to neighbours, lack of privacy, you know. It's also a real pain in the ass whenever you want to let somebody up or whatever. There's all these security doors and so on and so forth. It's much better just to have a house where they come to your door, they knock on your door, you say, hi, welcome, come in, as opposed to, here's the elevator, you need a code and a flash card, and you need so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. You need to find out where the frack this frickin' apartment is and be able to find it. You know, it's just a pain in the ass, from my perspective anyway. And, of course, that's going to be the plan for the whole city, isn't it? It's going to be terrible. I'm really looking forward to it. Property Council Chief Executive Connell Townsend said the council must continue with the current density targets in the draft unitary plan. Now the thing is, they got targets, all right? They're not taking statistics and saying, oh, we need this and such, blah, blah, blah. They've just got this Agenda 21 target. Okay, we're going to have to shuffle everybody into the slave cities to make sure that we can keep control and surveillance over them all. Okay, so that's the draft unitary plan in a nutshell there. He said councillors had the opportunity to act with courage, not only for the residents of today, but the residents of tomorrow. Yeah, it's really courageous herding people into slave blocks. The residents of tomorrow, the slave scum of tomorrow. Auckland developer Mark Todd has emailed councillors to say they have little understanding of how to motivate the private sector to build smaller, more affordable housing in places people want to live. You know, it's probably because they don't get all the extra freebies and government handouts and so on and so forth when they're not building Agenda 21 slave blocks. Mm. I love the word slave block. You know, I really do. His company, Occam Investments, has been working on proposals for three large sites of 2, 3, and 9 hectare sites for up to 1,000 quality 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes. And what a waste of time, because if the unlimited density is removed, they will be non-complying under the new plan and hence not eligible to receive preferential consent processing. Now, council consent processing, boy, do you want to talk about corruption? Oh, yeah. You just go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and search Russell Malcolm. That's Russell with 2 L's and Malcolm like a first name. And his problems with the council getting consent was a real pain, okay? And they even asked him for bribes, all right? They're that freaking corrupt. And I can guarantee you, if it's happened in the Rodney Council before the Auckland Unitary Plan, I can guarantee it'll start to happen all over the city. It's probably already happening already, and there's very little chance that we'll have to stop that from happening unless they get frickin' exposed by people who keep getting fracked over by them. You know, ordinary people like you and me. What is happening here is a real tragedy. Yet again, the older, wealthy land generation is behaving in a short-sighted, selfish manner. This is a huge lost opportunity. You know, isn't it funny how business scumbags come out of the woodwork to, you know, blame everything on old people or whatever because they're not going to be able to make a huge quantity of money by putting people in slave accommodation? and, you know, call them short-sighted. Auckland Mayor Len Brown said the unitary plan was all about defining our city as a slave city. How many times have I said slave during this? Okay. Deputy Mayor Penny Hulse, who is chairing the three-day meeting of the Auckland Plan Committee, said there was a little bit of trepidation, but this is what our job is, to make hard decisions, and today is the start of that. Okay, well, luckily, Auckland can now rejoice in its slave scumbaggery. Now, I also wanted to go on to this next article here that we have. It's about Syria hits world. What is that? What is that? All right. Syria wars, fears hit world shares overnight. Syria war fears hit world shares overnight. Hang on, man, I'm not even awake yet. Sorry. Thank God it's daylight savings soon. It better be, because gosh dang it, I hate doing my show in the morning, man. No, seriously, it's much better when it's an afternoon show. That's why I've got the opportunity, if I'm staying up late working, to actually get some freaking sleep before I go on air. And I think we'll probably kind of discuss this one after the break, really, because, you know, whenever anybody talks about Syria, you know, first thing that comes to mind is a joke. Well, you can't be serious. And the second thing that comes to mind is, you know, isn't this a great proxy war to scare the living bejesus out of everybody, you know, 9/11 style? Iraq style, Afghanistan style. Oh yeah. This is gonna be nice. Let's just freak everybody out. Yeah, that'll be a good move, won't it? Yeah. We'll be able to nuke people, started war with Russia. Hey, what's not to like? World War III? Potential apocalypse? You've got to be freaking kidding me. Hence the joke, you can't be serious. This is just not funny. This is like a real scary situation. And people best wise up to this, you know. It's kind of a really dangerous move on the part of the US to threaten war with Syria that they happen to be propping up in the first place anyway, including funding the rebels who, like, work for Al-Qaeda and carry Al-Qaeda flags over capture tanks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, you can also listen live on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If you also Google Vinnie Eastwood Chat, you should show up the wee chat room there. I never look at the chat room during the live broadcast, so don't ask. It's just, you know, if you feel like chatting with other people in there or whatever, you know. It's there for you. I don't really like it because it distracts from rambling. And Syria. All right, let's get serious for a moment. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things that people don't know about Syria, you know. It's actually quite a nice place, allegedly, before all the chemical attacks that the US probably funded and or staged with Al-Qaeda, which they owned and funded and incidentally staged. Fears of an escalating conflict in Syria rippled across financial markets on Tuesday, sinking stocks, lifting gold, and pushing the price of oil to the highest in a year and a half, a day after Secretary of State John Kerry said there was undeniable evidence of a large-scale chemical attack in Syria. Who in the... Okay, let's try to get a grip, Vinny. Who in the frack believes Senator John Skull and Bones Kerry? Are you kidding me? Tensions between the US and the regime. Oh yeah, that's right. We're gonna cut to our Middle East correspondent now. Yes, Vinny, I'm here in Syria, and the regime. Syria. Middle East, Muslim Brotherhood regime. Back to you in the studio. Thanks, Vinny, for that wonderful, informative cross-cut of propagandistic techniques. You're very welcome. Now, tensions between the US and the regime of Bashar Assad mounted. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, you know, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, said the U.S. military was ready to strike if President Barack H. O'Berry gave the order. Syria's foreign minister said his country would defend itself. You know, what you going to do? What you going to do? You can defend yourself from a pile of rubble? The United States is so evil, man. People have got nothing to do with it, apart from just freaking letting it happen. You know, think about this. How many freaking proxy wars have been fought by the United States over the last, 50, 60, 70 years? They're just fracking up the whole world. Bill Hicks was absolutely correct. Bullies of the world. Bullies of the world, man. The threats raised worries on Wall Street, and the U.S. was more likely to attack Syria That could disrupt energy trade in the region, which in turn could hurt other markets as well as the economy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 159 points, or 1.1%, to 14,791 in late afternoon trading. How in the heck is the Dow Jones Industrial Average up to 14,000 when, like, in 2008 it was, like, around 10,000 or something like that? They're just making it up. All of the stocks, all of the gold, all of the currency, it's all freaking manipulated. And what's the point of this article? Probably just to scare you. You know? Get a whole bunch of people pull their money out. Maybe they're going to try it. I don't know. Collapse the economy at some point. Everybody keeps talking about collapsing the economy, but nobody's ever done it yet. Everybody gives dates and stuff. None of them have been right yet. You know, it's just, when you think about the Third World War, what you think about is it has to be something simultaneous, okay? Like the Second World War, what was happening simultaneously along with a war? Great Depression. Okay. Massive tyrannical rise of police state and socialism in most countries, you know, something of that nature. Yeah, okay. And then, nice. And what do we got today? It's the same thing, isn't it? The Standard & Poor's 500 index lost 23 points, or 1.4%, to 1,634, and the NASDAQ composite. You know what? What does this matter? Have you noticed? You sit there and you watch all these statistics on the news, and they're telling you how much the stock market has fallen by how many points and so on and so forth. Does anybody actually understand what one or two of those points means? No, I thought not. And all of these news outlets, they report it like they know what they're talking about. I guarantee you, you start asking any of these douchebag reporters, what is two or three points on the NASDAQ Industrial Index mean going down? And they're like, it's bad for the economy. So you don't actually really know. You're just acting under the assumption that what they're telling you, first of all, that the statistics are actually the truth. That the stock market itself isn't a complete frickin' lie and a scam bucket of monkeys full of thieves and suits sitting there trading away everybody else's futures. That's why they call it futures trading. Futures commodity. And just making stuff up and taking control of the entirety of the economy while fear-mongering everybody with little things like, there's a couple of points down. You know, it's like Black Hawk down, but except there's a couple of points instead. I don't get it. The law of unintended consequences, and I call them unintended consequences sometimes because it's like there's many layers of consequences, like an onion. And the history of previous military interventions in the region is not a recipe for political and economic stability, said Neil McKinnon, global macro strategist at VTB Capital. VTB Capital sounds like some kind of a capitalist venereal disease. The sell-off in U.S. stocks was broad. All 10 industry sectors in the S&P 500 index were in the red. That's probably because they're all run by communists. And only 21 of the 500 stocks in the index rose. Utilities and other high dividend paying stocks escaped the selling. And isn't that interesting? Because I guess people know that utilities are going to be very valuable if there's some kind of a war. Why do you think armies kind of attack utilities, infrastructure, and things of that nature when they go into countries? You know, they blew up water plants in Iraq. They blew up power plants. They blew up freaking everything, man. Messed up their roads, messed up their bridges, so on and so forth. If you cripple a nation's infrastructure, you got them. It fracks. They can't fight back. They can't even boil water to throw on your face. That's the sad reality of it. And I think that's why the New World Order wants to take control of all infrastructure globally. Because if they ever needed to, if they ever really needed to, like fight the local population who are resisting being taken over by a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery, you just shut your power off, mate. And you're fracked. You know? Maybe. I don't know. It's just a little theory of mine. The impact wasn't just in stocks. Gold prices advanced and government bond prices jumped because traders see those investments holding their value better in times of uncertainty. Oil surged $3.03 or 2.9% to $108.94, a level last reached in May 2011. Do you remember when it was like $140 a barrel and people were thinking, oh my God, it's peak oil, it's peak oil? Who the frack still believes in peak oil? Really? Really? I mean, come on. Oil prices go up to $140 a barrel, and then they go back down to like $60 over 6 months. And apparently, oh, the oil's running out. It's that much harder to get home. No, it's an infinite freaking resource. For some reason, it gets produced in the middle of the earth and starts spurting up at all of these different spots around the skin. It's kind of like, like for example, if you talk to a teenager, and you ask the teenagers, do you think your pimples are an infinite resource? And you'll be like, absolutely, yeah, because pimple nizzle keeps getting produced and it keeps popping out of my skin. That's not entirely dissimilar from the way oil is produced, I reckon. Anyway, the Russians figured it out. You know, the Russians have figured out a lot of stuff. You know, they figured out that diamonds are practically worthless. You can just make them in a lab just as hardcore, and just as beautiful for like nothing. Oil is infinite. It reproduces itself. It keeps coming out of the ground. There's no end to it. There's oceans of the stuff under the crust of the earth. They drilled down 60,000 feet. 60,000 feet! Normal drilling platforms do like 10,000 feet before they strike a little bit of oil pockets. These guys drilled down to way, 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 way deeper. Like and there's like these caverns. You know, like straight out of Lord of the Rings, filled with just trillions upon trillions of barrels of oil. Oil that you see in every freaking direction. It's out of control amounts of oil. And they say that there's peak oil so that they can trick people with artificial scarcity to make them think that there's actually a problem here. To make them think that oil's actually the problem. Actually, control of the oil by a bunch of cartel scumbags like US Standard Oil and the Dutch Royal Shells and the BHP, which is incidentally owned by the Royals as well. That's the real problem with oil, is it's controlled by scumbags. And on top of that, the engines and things of that nature that we've got in our cars wind up wasting about 90% of the oil in the petrol, gasoline, whatever. Okay, you know the reason why you got exhaust? All right, it's because it's unburned hydrocarbons, yo. When your fuel gets squirted into your engine, it's got these massive droplet sizes, and it can't burn it all up. So about 90 to 98% of it or whatever just passes through as a vapor, gases out through the exhaust pipe. There's many things that have been done over time in order to improve that level of efficiency, okay? The Pogue carburetor, for example, the very first carburetor that was ever made was like used a wick, okay, in order to light the fuel. And this guy, Cameron Pogue, I believe it was, prior to World War II, created a carburetor that got 200 miles a gallon. All right? That's prior to World War II. Okay? They were putting fuel injector engines, water injection engines, sorry, in Spitfires. Why do you think the Spitfires were so capable and the P-51s? Were taking out Germans like no tomorrow's because when they hit a special switch, it squirted water into the fuel canisters, and the extra power that you can get from water in terms of acceleration is quite remarkable. They were capable of winning the Battle of Britain on that Shiite Muslim. There's a lot of stuff that people don't know, and all this technology has been suppressed. And now you've got to drive around in a car that you think is, it's fuel efficient because it's a hybrid car or whatever. It's made with lithium that they kill entire massive tracts of land with in order to extract out of it. And then when you're sitting there, you're sitting on a whole bunch of incredibly highly charged electronic devices, essentially, that literally cook you while you drive and give you freaking cancer. And then tell you it's all because of peak oil, because of the technology that we suppressed that got you near 100% fuel efficiency, which means that you'd be paying like, a couple of cents a gallon kind of thing, if everything was realistically priced. That's how fracked the situation is. And this whole, you know, war with Syria, war in Iraq, war in the Middle East, it ain't necessarily about oil. It's about geopolitical control. Zbigniew Brzezinski has said this for quite some time. I believe he mentioned it in his book, The Grand Chessboard, that indeed the reason why they wanted to invade all of these countries is to drive a wedge in between China and Russia and the US. So the US controls the Middle East, all right? Because that's where a lot of the oil production is, admittedly. And, I find it really strange as well that people don't notice this. They don't notice that it's not actually about oil, per se, in the Middle East. It's about geopolitical control. They need all their bases and everything there so that they can cut off the Russians from reinforcements. They can cut off the Chinese. All right? The Russians and Chinese have got people all over the world and that kind of thing. And if you have to do a hop, skip, and a jump in between massive controlled territories of the United States with your Patriot missiles and so on and so forth, you're going to lose a lot of troops in transit. That's why they were doing a whole bunch of, teleportation experiments, allegedly, back in the 70s and 80s, is because they wanted to get troops to particular locations without losing about 50% of them, as was the case in World War II. About half of the troops that left for the battlefield never made it. And this is what we've got here. We've got a proxy war about to be started up for no good reason, just to prop up geopolitical regimes and help the establishment of the New World Order. And that's basically all you really got to worry about. You know, it's just World War III. It's just the end of the world. It's just nuclear holocaust. It'll be all good. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not going to take it too seriously. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go anywhere.
The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with us.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. You know, about to say something there. We'll reconsider. Government opens forest to prospectors. You know, if only I had a banjo. And we know. Oh, God. The Nick Smith. Jeepers creepers. God, he looks horrific. Oh. He's our environment sinister, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You know. You know, that kind of person who goes around and says, I'm all for protecting the environment and the government role. And then as a result, what he does is he sells the entire country out to oil companies, coal companies, gold mining companies, so on and so forth. X amount of scumbaggery, New World Order affiliated companies. And then just says, you know, I'm doing it for the environment. Pushing climate change like there's no tomorrow. You know, corporate welfare. Yeah, that's gonna save the environment. Brilliant. Freaking brilliant. The government has opened up much of the volcanic plateau for gold and silver prospecting. Oh, yeah, boy, we're going to get down in there some prospecting. I don't know what it is. Has the image of a prospector not really changed since like the 1800s or something like that? Like you envisage this kind of bearded, toothless, shabby hat wearing, shotgun toting, panhandling, sort of a scruffy, rugged individualist, busy trying to eke out a living through scratching through rocks. That's kind of what prospecting, you know, the image that conjures up when I think about it. I just imagine Nick Smith in that get-up. With filthy overalls and all. Brilliant. The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment's Petroleum and Minerals Department. That's a hell of a lot. What the hell is the acronym for that? The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment's Petroleum and Minerals. Okay, well, yeah, let me just get like a piece of paper up here. The Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, Petroleum and Minerals Department. So it's the Mobia Epamd. The Mobia Epamd. Oh, yeah, that's good. So the Mobia Epamd is seeking tenders for exploration permit for more than 8,000 square kilometres of the central volcanic zone across the Bay of Plenty and Waikato. Oh, no. This can't be good. The area is known to contain epithermal-style gold and silver deposits in both extinct and active geothermal fields. According to David Binney, General Manager of New Zealand Petroleum and Minerals. Although the area tagged for exploration includes conservation land, Mr. Binney said any Schedule 4 areas were excluded. But the Green Party pointed out the area included the Puriroa Forest Park west of Lake Taupo, which does not have Schedule 4 protection. And you know what will be funny? The great thing about the government is that they could just change their own laws when they don't like following them. So they'll just change whatever Schedule 4 land into like Schedule 3 or Schedule 5 or whatever. What does even Schedule 4 mean? Oh, well, it means like a protected, you know, site of national significance or something of that nature. And there's nothing to stop them from just rushing something through urgently, you know. Oh, it's urgent. We need to sign this permit for these people to frack, literally. Frack the land and contaminate everybody's water supply. That's really urgent. We need to pass that through right now. Mm. And let's get it done. And they'll do it, you know. So they don't give a frack, ironically. The government should not be tendering for mineral exploration permits in this precious place, Green Party mining spokeswoman Catherine Delahunty said. I like Catherine. She's a nice lady. The Puriroa Forest is some of the best lowland forest remaining of the North Island. The majority of the ancient totara trees remaining in New Zealand are found in Puriroa. And, you know, it's funny. New Zealand wilderness is kind of like disappearing, man. Like, honestly. I remember watching our country calendar the other night and these old farmers, you know, the guy's like, I don't know, 90, 95 odd, and he's still getting himself around, still walking around. I mean, he's got these big chunks of land down his farm that he commanded all the next generations of farmers not to slash and burn, to let it go back to nature. And, you know, sure enough, all the birds that had previously just decided to bugger off have come back, you know. Isn't that nice? We actually got some beautiful, pristine bushland that's maintained by a New Zealand farmer. Just so that the birds can have somewhere to frickin' live and breed safely and securely of his own free will, using his own land, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's a better idea. Yeah, just give it to the government, because the government has contaminated every single river and lake that has been put under its care, whereas certain Māori trusts who've been taking care of rivers and lakes in this country since, you know, time verge immemorial, have gotten massive success in taking care of these areas because they actually care. Government doesn't care. What about the land? Some certain people care about the land. Government doesn't. They open it up for frickin' mining. That's their idea of caring about the land. How can we exploit that Shiite Muslim? Conservation Minister Nick Smith said the bid process was at a very preliminary stage. Oh, you know, here's the thing. For frack's sake. Oh, you don't need to worry about us killing you because we're just at the preliminary stages. You know, that's what it kind of sounds like to me. You don't need to worry about us enslaving you because we're only just getting started. Well, in fact, you know, it comes back on a different thing entirely, you know. Maybe you're just getting started, so we should start to be really worried. Really worried. Because you're a dangerous person, aren't you, Mr. Smith? Oh, yeah. And it was far too early to speculate on whether any mining proposals, either open cast or underground, will eventuate. Well, isn't that nice? You know, oh, you're just looking into things, right? And we should only really worry about it once you've already given them permission and once they've invested goodness knows how many freaking millions of dollars in order to extract minerals out of, like, you know, ancient forests and things of that nature and do, like, open cast mining or whatever, you know. And maybe we shouldn't even be looking up off of our morning newspapers and just going, huh, what? What did you? No, go back to sleep. Have another coffee, bro. You won't worry. Maybe you just have your Egg Benedict. You'll be fine, you know. Goes here to the wee little cafe. Should be sweet as. This is about finding out what resources we have, and then as a country, we can make better informed decisions about the trade-offs between conservation values and jobs from minerals development. Tenderers need to be aware that just because there may be minerals in an area like Porirua Forest does not mean they will get access to them to mine. Exploration permits are valid for 5 years, but may be extended for up to 10 years, and the permit does not give the holder automatic access to explore for minerals. Okay, that's nice. And we got another article up here. Because I remember having a wee few laughs at John Key's daughter yesterday on the radio, on the Man Talk Project, and that was good. That was good. You know, a lot of people gave me grief about that. It's like, why are you, you know, you're criticizing women and blah, blah, blah. It's a woman's right to choose. Nudity's fine. It's like, look, bro, it's the daughter of a statesman, okay? And she's posing nude with a cherry in her mouth and a gun to her head with the word pop in her red panties. Can't I have a permission to laugh at the guy whose daughter it is? You know, laugh at his public embarrassment? He is, after all, destroying the frickin' country and selling us out to the New World Order. Can't I just have that one little reprieve, you know? Because there's not a single bit of his a bit of his agenda that anybody's defeated thus far, you know? There was a while ago that there was these massive mining protests, and thanks to Greenpeace, you know, I don't have a hell of a lot to be thankful to Greenpeace for, but thanks to Greenpeace, they actually did something and got off their asses and organised a protest of epic proportions, largest protest I've ever seen, maybe even the largest in the country's history. 50,000 people marching down Queen Street for the anti-mining protest, of which there was only one arrest, and only one cameraman caught that arrest on camera. You guessed it, it was me. And you can have a look at all those videos there and everything, but guess what happens? As with the previous article, it just gives you mining permits anyway. Don't freaking care. I mean, this is how they operate, okay? They push the envelope, and if you push it back, then they'll just push it again somewhere down the track once everybody's freaking forgotten about it. And it doesn't take that long for people to forget about things nowadays because it's about like a 30-second attention span thanks to mainstream media. I mean, am I wrong in saying that people need to be vigilant all the time of government scumbaggery? I mean, is this the only reason why we're actually living in a country that hasn't fallen already? It's because there are people out there who are always watching, always thinking, always scheming of how to resist the government. And it's many, many scumbaggery agendas. I mean, you can't even count them on your fingers and frickin' toes how much scumbaggery is out there. It's unfreaking believable. There's more scumbaggery all day than anybody could ever conceive of, you know? And it just keeps getting more. It's like fractal scumbaggery. You know, for each bit of scumbaggery that you look into, it's like, oh my God, there's all new whole worlds of scumbaggery that I was never even involved in. I never even knew there was this much scumbaggery in existence. And look, there's yet more to come. Yeah, yeah, fractal scumbaggery. You gotta love it. It's infinite, isn't it? It's frickin' infinite. And I think that people had best get wise to the infinite scumbaggery complex that we've got in this country, and every other, for that matter. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, 218-339-8525. We're taking your calls after the break.